If the Edwards boys would sit down, we'll get started. They haven't seen each other all week, you know. So they got. I tell you what, it isn't. I'm giving them a hard time. It isn't family. I hope your family is a blessing to you. This last week, as many of you know, I have a sister who's a missionary in New Guinea, and she and her husband were in the States for just a month. All three of their sons were graduating. Their youngest son was graduating from high school. Of course, my sister homeschooled him in New Guinea. The middle boy was graduating from Bob Jones, and the older boy was graduating, getting his medical doctor's degree. And there is a camp up above Brevard, North Carolina, a retreat center, and it is specifically for people in full-time Christian service. And there's no cost. You have to provide your own food, and they ask you to do a little work while you're there and to clean up and so forth. But the New Guinea clan and the South Carolina clan and the Tennessee clan and the Ohio clan were all able to be there, and we had 20 of us there. My brother from California was not able to come, and my brother in Ohio had to work. But I tell you, we started Wednesday morning and ended Friday afternoon. But my folks are in their 80s. Obviously, my sister is back in New Guinea for however long until she comes back again. So you just never know when the last time you'll be able to get together is in these situations. But what a joy just to spend time with family. And we had no agenda. We just kicked back and messed around and spent time talking. And seemed like we did a lot of eating, you know. We would clean up from the meal and about half hour later start cooking for the next one. But we just had a wonderful time. And I praise the Lord. People who ran the place said several times, "Boy, you are blessed." And I really am. And I tell you, if you've got family, love them, care for them, spend time with them. You know, we get so tied up in the hustle and bustle of this world, and we go by, and you know, you may live right across the street and you never even see them, you know. And I just encourage you. I tell you, we just had a great time. I praise the Lord for it. But I also say to encourage you, you won't always have your family. And so enjoy them. And this goes back to last week in Sunday school. If there's hard feelings in the family, I encourage you to get them right. Do all you can to reconcile and fix situations. Now, I know that humanly speaking, there are some situations that you cannot fix. I know that. But you pray that God would change hearts and you be what you ought to be. And I tell you, we just had a wonderful time. So anyway, I don't know why I said that. Maybe you needed that. Yeah. Yeah, you're exactly right. Well, we are delighted to have you this morning, and it's good to see you with us today. And let's pray, and then we'll get in God's Word this morning. Lord, we do thank you for your blessings in our lives. We are indeed a blessed people. Lord, you allowed the majority of us to be born here in America, where we were raised in a Christian country and where the Word of God was prevalent, and many of us raised in Christian homes. And we are blessed people, and we thank you for that. And thank you for drawing us to yourself and saving our souls. And Lord, we just want to thank you for being so good to us. And then, Lord, as we look at your word this morning, we're asking you to speak to our hearts. God, may your word find good soil. May it be an encouragement and a help to us. And just bless in this time, we pray now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Some of you guys are looking a long time. It's the same place it was last time we were there. Lily Elise Calger was born on March the 16th of this year, and we were able to be there for her birth, and we're able to hold her soon after she was born. And when people came to visit, the first question they would ask was, "What do you think it was? How much did she weigh? how long is she? They don't usually ask about how length. Maybe some of the ladies do. Of course, the guys, they don't really care about anything. They're just along because their wife drug them along, you know. And and then the second question usually is, what's her name? That's a good one. What else do they ask? Who does she look like? Exactly right. Who does she look like? And the consensus of opinion is that she looks like Joe. So really pray for her. I tell you, it's going to be rough. And now, when she was born complete. Had all the fingers that she's ever going to have, and ears and eyes, and all the life that she's ever going to have. She was born complete, and yet, even though she's complete, she needs to grow. And thankfully, she is growing. And I think the last time they went to the doctor, she was 11 pounds. If you've seen pictures of her, she looks like she's about 40 pounds, but she's really not. She is doing well. Now, there's a great parallel in the Christian life, because when you got saved as a believer, you got all the spiritual life you're ever going to have or ever going to need. When you got saved, you became complete in Christ. But as believers, we need to do what? Grow. And as we grow, what is going to happen to our appearance? We're going to begin to look more and more like our family. And our family is God and the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, did you realize that today you should be more like Christ than you were a week ago? Than January the 1st. This growth process is supposed to take place. Now, this is exactly what Paul is talking about in Colossians chapter 3. Now, I want to take just a few minutes to review, and then we'll dive into some new stuff. But in Colossians 3, 1 through 4, Paul says, now look, you need to have a heavenly mindset. You need to set your mind on things above, or your affections on things above. And you all say, boy, I'd love to do that. But it's not easy, is it? So Paul continues this book, and he's going to tell us how to do that. And he starts in verse 5, and he says, do what? What are you supposed to do? Put some things to death in the old life. Putting out the old man, or putting off the old man. And verses 5 through 9, he talks about that. And he says you need to mortify or put to death these members. And remember what they are. Now, in this first list, he goes from the action all the way back to the motive. What is the action that he says you need to put to death? If you want to look at the Bible, you can. It's verse 5. Fornication, sexual sins. That's the outward act. And he says you need to also put to death the uncleanness. That uncleanness is the evil thought behind the evil deed. And he said, you need to put to death the inordinate affection and evil concupiscence. That is that passion and evil desire within you that is ignited by what you see or what you do, which leads to the act. And then he goes on, he says, and also this covetousness, which is wanting something God doesn't want you to have, which is really idolatry. He said, there are some things you need to put to death. You need to kill them in your life. And then he says the reason you should do that is found in verse 6. Because God judges sin. His wrath is going to be poured out on sin. Okay? And he says in verse 7, another reason you need to do this is that's part of your old life. It's not part of the new life. You need to get rid of it. You need to kill it. Now, he goes to the second list there in verse 8. And the first he says you need to kill some things. Now he says you need to put them off. You need to take the clothing off, this clothing off of you. And he says put off all these. Now he's going to start with the inner problem and work to the outer problem. By the way, if you can't control your mouth or your anger, the problem is not your heritage. Well, kind of is. It's not your physical heritage. Well, it is too, because it was Adam, isn't it? The problem is the heart. And so Paul comes along and he says, look, you need to put off this anger, this wrath, this malice, this blasphemy, these filthy communications, this lying about each other. All of these things, you need to put them off. Okay? Now that's all review. Now, in verse 9 he says, he ends that verse by saying, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now notice, here's the bridge to the new topic. And have put on the new man, which is renewed. When you think of renewal, that's the idea of growth. He's renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Who's that? That's Jesus. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Now our goal this morning is to cover verse 9 through 11. Now, first of all, again, he says put off some things. Then he says, he's going to come along in verse 12 and he's going to say, all right, you need to put on some things. We'll get to that next week, Lord willing. Today we're in this transition section where God is doing a work in our life to change us. And it's really important for us to see what happened when we got saved. Now notice, look again back in verse 9 and 10. Seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. Now stop for a moment. The verbs in that sentence, are they in the present tense, the past tense, or the future tense? I've heard present and past. Even want to say future. Past. Have put. Is that past? Okay. And so it says, look, we've got an English teacher up here, past perfect, very good. Let's not get too technical. Well, I thought I was doing well with past. Seeing that ye have put off the old man. So that's past, isn't it? And have put on the new man. That's past, right? This is the easy part, okay? If we lost you here, we're in big trouble. It is past. You have done it, okay? You have done it. He said, here is something that happened in the past. Now, what in the world is he talking about? Now, I hope that this morning, I know it's Memorial Day weekend, many of you don't have to work tomorrow, and your minds are already shut down. And let me encourage you to at least turn on, 50% of your brain and think with me. You'll need me thinking this morning, okay? All right? We need to determine who this old man is. This old man that we put off in the past. Now, what is a good way to figure out what a word means in the Bible? Or a noun in this case. What is the old man? What's the best way to figure out what the old man is? The dictionary won't tell you. Maybe a Bible dictionary might. There you go. I'm glad you're here this morning. You're two for two this morning. You compare with other scriptures. So what should we do? I'm leading you down a path. Please follow. Okay. We're going to look for all the places in the Word of God where the words old man are used. Wow. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. I'm either a really bad teacher or you're just out of it today, and I'm going to choose the latter, okay? It's probably the former. Ephesians 4:22. All right. That ye put off concerning the former conversation. Notice the old man. Now, we're going to learn something about the old man here, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So what did you learn about the old man? He's corrupt. He's corrupt. All right? What is it in us that we are born with that is corrupt? Sin. Where'd you get that from? Adam. So this is the old Adamic nature. The fallen sinful nature is the old man. Okay? Now, there's something else we can learn about this old man. By the way, today you are either a child of Adam, and you have Adam's nature, the old corrupt sinful nature, or you have, or you are a child of God or Christ, and you have a new nature. Okay? You still with me so far? We're 5 minutes in the lesson here. I may have lost you already. All right? Now, let me just stop for just a second. Because there is difference of opinion about who the old man is. I am telling you what I think the old man is based on the Word of God. But there are other people who would tell you something else. One man feels like the old man is the old life before salvation. As I have prayed and studied, I feel like this is the right answer. The old man is the old corrupt, Adamic nature that you get when you're saved. Now you say, well, Gary, if that is gone, and we're going to talk about crucifying here, why do I still struggle? Well, hang on to that thought, and I'll get to there in a minute. But I want you to turn to the other passage in Romans. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. By the way, while you're turning, let me mention the rest of that verse. The old Adamic nature is something that you are born with, and it is controlled by desire. It's not controlled by reason. It's not controlled by the Spirit of God. It is controlled by the fleshly desires, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That's what controls that old nature. Now, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6 is the other. There's only three references in the Word of God to the old man, okay? I wish there were more, but the Lord knows what He's doing. And He says in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So we find that the old nature, the old man, is corrupt, and he's also was, when you got saved, was crucified. That means the old nature died. Now, your mind should be going 100 miles a minute at this point. Okay? You with me so far? This is what the Word of God says. The old nature dies. It is crucified. When you got saved, you were placed in Christ mystically, spiritually, and the old nature, the sinful nature, the Adamic nature was crucified. The old man. Okay? You say, well, wait a minute. Your question at this point is, if that is true, then why in the world do I have so much trouble? Well, I believe when you got saved, you received a new nature. Okay, we're going to talk about that in a moment. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You receive a new nature. And my contention is, you cannot have an unsaved part of you and a saved part of you, as in a new nature and an old nature in the same thing. Okay, the old nature dies, you receive a new nature. The reason you still struggle is, your new nature is still in this old body. So you still got the flesh, okay? Now, these are fine points theologically, and if you're at this point saying, what in the world is he talking about? Don't worry about it. It'll get better after a while, okay? but this is my feeling about what this is put off. Now, when we got saved, we put off the old man and his deeds, the old nature and all the things that Adamic, corrupt, sinful nature produced in our life. We still have our flesh. And our flesh is motivated by what? The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. All those things, what you see, what you touch, what you feel, all that stuff still affects the old body. Now, what's going to happen when you die? Well, the flesh is gone. And you go to heaven in your new nature, and guess what? You get a new body, and you don't have any of these troubles anymore. Okay? Now, that is the semen interpretation. If you like it, run with it. If you don't like it, get your own. All right? You're a Christian. You are a priest. You have the right to interpret Scripture the way you want to, okay? That, to the best of my knowledge, is what he's talking about in this passage. All right, back to Colossians 3. Now, if the old nature is the unregenerate me that dies, what is the new nature? If the old is the unregenerate me, then the new must be the regenerated me. When Nicodemus, a very religious man, came to Christ and said, hey, how can I go to heaven? He said, you must be born again. There must be a time when spiritual life is born, when you are born into the family of God, when you become a child of God. And when that occurs, folks, you received a new nature. Okay? And this new nature is a regenerated you, and it's again, it occurs when we're placed in Christ, and you receive this. Again, I said, I already gave you 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, whether I am correct specifically on all these things, I do know that when you got saved, you received a new nature. Why do you want to read the Word of God? Well, your new nature is hungry. Why do you want to go to church?
Well, because my husband made me. Or my wife made me. What?
Why? Well, because of your new nature. Your new nature has a desire to do right. Why are you convicted when you sin? Now, if you didn't have a new nature, would you be convicted?
Well, I mean, hey, hallelujah. I mean, well, maybe your conscience, maybe. But the conscience becomes corrupted after a while, and you just kind of go on and just do whatever.
Why do you desire the things of God? Because you have a new nature. And it is the nature of God. And if you have a nature of God, you're going to desire things that are holy and right. Now, by the way, on the reverse, you know some people who have... I'm going to freeze you out, so stay awake here. You know some people who say they are believers. They say they have a new nature, but they have no desire for the things of God and His Word. What must we conclude about those kind of people? Exactly right. Folks, if there is no indication of a new nature, the problem is there's no new nature. Okay? So, you receive a new nature. Now, again, you're back in Colossians, and we're looking here at the birth or the coming of this new nature. And he said, look, in verse 9, seeing that ye have put off, or you have crucified the old man with his deeds, you've put him off, and have put on the new man. All right, let me ask you a question. Has that taken place in your life? Now, if not, then everything you do, folks, is going to be outward change and will eventually fail. But if the old man is crucified, then you've received the new nature, and because of that, we can have victory over sin in our lives. Okay? How many are with me still? How many have a clue what I'm talking about? How many care less? Okay, all right. Good. All right. There's the birth. There's the growth. All right. Now, let's look at the next thing. And have put on the new man, notice, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. All right. So here is, we've seen the birth. The old man dies, is crucified, receive the new nature, the new man. Now he says, you need to be renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. What is he talking about, folks? He's talking about growth. Now, I've told you this before, but when Sarah was a small child, she was skin and bones. In fact, Johnny's mom always gave us a hard time about not feeding that kid. And, you know, what's wrong with you? You got to feed, put some skin and some meat on those kids there. What's wrong with you? You know? And if a child doesn't grow, you get concerned. There needs to be a birthing process when they receive life, but there needs to be growth. Now, folks, this is true in our spiritual life too. In 1 Peter 2:2, he says what? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Now, look, believer, when you got saved, as I said in the introduction, you got all of Christ that you're ever going to get. There is no second work of grace. You know, you come forward in church, and then later on, you speak in tongues, and you get more of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, when you got saved, you got all the Spirit.
Okay? You got all of Christ. You're complete. You don't need anything else. You're complete in Christ. However, you do need to grow. Now, let me ask you a question. How can you tell, or let me ask you this. Give me some false signs of spiritual growth. Things that we may look to as believers that really aren't necessarily true signs of spiritual growth. Does that make sense? I'll know by your answers. I'll give you an illustration. You are extremely spiritual and you're growing if when preacher preaches you shout and run around the aisles and jump up and down. Speaking in tongues. What else? Yeah, the way you look necessarily. Now, you can look like a Christian and not be a Christian. Now, I think the flip side, if you don't look like a Christian, we have to wonder. But if you don't have a haircut like mine, I really wonder. I really do. Okay? The exterior appearance. I mean, you can walk around and carry your big King James Version that weighs 47 pounds, and you can say, Brother, God loves you. And you can be as carnal as it is long and not have grown in 30 years. Okay? We even could say, how much money you give. Oh, I tithe. Well, we're glad you do. But does that mean you're growing spiritually? Not necessarily. So my question is, how in the world do you know if you're growing spiritually? Well, it tells you right here in this verse. We've already talked about it. He says, you're renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now you tell me, from that verse, how do you know if you are growing spiritually? Increasing in knowledge, and that leads to becoming more like Christ. This is really rather simple. Turn in Romans chapter 8. Keep your place there in Colossians. Romans chapter 8. And verse 28, a verse you know really well. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, at the end of that verse, you ought to be asking a question. What is his, or what is God's purpose in my life? What is God trying to do in your life? All right? Here it is, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. What is God trying to do in your life? Why did God save you? Most of us say, well, to take me to heaven. He saved you to make you more like Christ. What, when you got saved, you were given the Spirit of God to enjoy. What is the Spirit of God doing in your life? He's trying to change you to produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Oh, I hate that one. Gentleness, meekness, temperance, self-control. Goodness, we've probably got them in the wrong order. But you look at all those things and you examine the life of Christ and what do you find? Christ, that's how Christ was. That's how Christ is. And so what the Spirit of God is trying to do in David Ellison's life is to make David like the Lord Jesus Christ. That is his purpose in your life, David. In Joyce Witter's life. That is what the Spirit of God is trying to do. By the way, we may experience chastening in our life. We usually think chastening is because of sin. And it can be. But you know, chastening can also be to change us, to make us like Christ. If we never went through any trouble, would we ever be like Christ? And so here is the test of spiritual growth. By the way, good news, someday God's purpose is going to be fulfilled. Will you ever be completely like Christ in this life? And your wife or your spouse says, no, they won't be, that's for sure. No, but I've got good news. 1 John 3:2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be what? Like him. Oh, that's going to be good, isn't it? And why is that? Well, the old flesh is gone. And we'll be like Christ. But you know what, folks? Right today, God is seeking to do a work in your life and to change you. And here are the ways you can tell if you are growing spiritually. Am I more loving than I was 6 months ago? Am I more gentle than I was 6 months ago? Am I more long-suffering than I was? Am I more meek? Do I have more goodness? Do I have more self-control? Folks, those are the questions. Are you becoming like Christ? Now, that leads me to another thought. Well, there's the goal. How in the world am I supposed to become more like Christ? Well, Amia mentioned early on, it's found right there in the same verse. Renewed in what? What's the word? Knowledge. Why do we come to Sunday school? So I can bore you to death for a half an hour. I hope not. So we can learn and get knowledge from the Word of God, for it is the Word of God that changes us, folks, and renews us. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, he says, For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man, the new man, is renewed day by day. Romans 12:2, And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when you do that, you will prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is the resource, folks? Well, it's the Word of God, isn't it? And we've landed where we often land. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, or if you're a woman, the woman of God may be, what's the next word? Perfect. Well, what does that word mean? Mature. Someone who has grown and has reached spiritual maturity. See? That's how we grow. You grow when you get knowledge and you apply it and you live by it and it changes you. One of the problems we have in fundamentalism today is we've got folks that come to church faithfully Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and they hear it and they hear it and they hear it and they hear it, but they don't change. There's no growth. And they're stunted spiritually. He said, look, folks, when you got saved, the old man was crucified. You receive the new nature, but you got to grow. And the way you grow is you take the knowledge of the Word of God and you apply it to your life. And it changes your life and you grow. Now, there's one more really interesting thing here. As I studied this, I got to verse 11, and I here we're talking about the spiritual birth and the old man and the new man, and we're talking about growing in those things. And then he comes to verse 11. And it says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. I think, what in the world? Paul, how did you get there? What is the point? Now, let's stop for think about it. Folks, when you receive the new man, the new nature, it has a powerful influence in the life. Now, what he's showing us here is people who were totally opposed to each other. Total enemies. Look, there's neither Greek nor Jew. The Jews wouldn't go in the Gentiles' houses, didn't like them, wouldn't be around them, vice versa. I mean, there was total antagonism between the two racially. There was no unity whatsoever. And then he talks about these circumcision or uncircumcised, that's still Jews and Gentiles. And he says, the barbarians and the Scythians. You say, what in the world is a Scythian? That's the worst of the barbarians. You got the cultured people like us, you know. We're cultured. And then you got these barbarians that don't know how to act in public, and they're just, you know, these Scythians, they love to kill people, and they were just wicked, wicked people. And you know, these cities didn't get along, okay? And then you got another group here in the end of the verse. the bond or the free. Now that one you understand, don't you? The slaveholders or the masters of the slaves. In this time, Rome was about half and half. And the slaves were considered to be living tools. Now here's what happened when they received the new nature. It is so powerful that all of those barriers, whether they be racial or religious or political or whatever, what happened? What happened? They're gone. And so if you go to the New Testament church, you might find a slave who has been called of God to preach, up preaching to a bunch of people who are slave owners. And you would find Jews and Gentiles worshiping together and the synagogues turning into churches. And all these barriers being broken down. Why? Because Mark Larkey is in Christ. And I'm in Christ. And Tim is in Christ. And Rick is in Christ. And so guess what? We're all in Christ. We all have a new nature. It's the same nature. It's the nature of God. So should we be able to get along or not? Sure. That's the power of the new birth. And there are no barriers. And you look around our church. Now, there could be, we could do better, I'm sure. But we've got people from all walks of life in our church. We've got people who have a lot of money. You say, who's that? I'd like to meet them. And we have, some people don't have hardly any money. We have people who are very educated. And some people who are not very educated. We have people with very high IQs and some with no IQ. No, I'm just kidding. Very low IQs. I'm in the latter category. We have people from different races. We've got it all. Why? How can we get along? Wait a minute, we shouldn't like each other. You're raised on a farm. I was raised in the city, you know. I am this race and you're this race and whatever, whatever. We shouldn't get along. We should have all these problems, but we don't. Why? Because the power of the new birth, we're all in Christ. And when we're in Christ, we're all one. Wow, what a powerful new birth, folks. What a powerful new man that we receive when you got saved. Now, this is the bridge between, we're going to come next week, Lord willing, to verse 12. And we've been putting off some things, we've been killing some things. And he's moved now from that, and he's moved us into, okay, now we need to put on some things. Let me ask you a question. Have you received a new nature? Secondly, are you growing spiritually? You say, well, I'd sure like to, but I don't have time to read my Bible. And man, I do well to get to Sunday school. Well, good luck with that. Are you growing spiritually? Are you becoming more like Christ? And folks, when that all happens, guess what happens to all the barriers? It's always an amazing thing to me. When you go to a mission field or you meet people you've never met before and they are believers, it always amazes me the unity that we have. It's just amazing. Why? Well, because they may speak Portuguese or Spanish or Russian or whatever, but we're in Christ. We have the same Savior. We're part of the same body. And that new nature brings great unity and tears all those barriers down. It's powerful. It's powerful. All right, Lord, we thank you for your word today. I know that this has been a little more difficult passage than we've covered in the past, but I pray that you would take some thoughts from your word and drive them home to our hearts and that we would understand them and help us to know, first of all, we have a new nature, and then, Lord, help us as believers to be growing, to be taking knowledge that we hear and read and study and applying it, and that our lives be changing, we become more like Christ, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.